Good to see you all. Thank you for coming. And also thank you if you brought in any produce. It's going to be donated to Mainsey Primary School. They have a food share for their community that anyone can come in and get food. So thank you for coming and thank you if you brought anything for that. We've obviously gathered here tonight for our harvest celebration. And we've been giving thanks to God for all the ways in which he's blessed us. In our last song, we've just been thanking God and praising him that he's given us his son to save us. As our saviour, Jesus died on the cross so that we could be forgiven for our sins if we put our faith and trust in him. That's the message we preach, teach and share in all that we do in Emmanuel. It's a great gospel message that Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners. And looking around, I can see quite a few familiar faces. So I'd imagine it's not the first time you've heard that. You probably heard it maybe in toddlers, rock, art club, whatever. But I wonder, do you really appreciate and understand what it means that God chose to save us? We are all used to making choices, aren't we? Every day we have to make choices. I wonder, can anyone suggest a choice we may have to make on a daily basis? Anyone?
What to wear?
What to wear? Lovely, thanks, Dave. Caitlin? What do you want to have to see? Samson? Brushing your teeth. That's not a choice, Samson. That's a must, isn't it, Sarah? At least twice a day, Eldana. What do you want to do? Yes. So these are lots of different choices that we make every day, day in, day out. But when God chose to save us, the way he chose is not the way we choose. And that's what I want us to look at this evening. And so I want to show you three ways in which the Bible tells us that the way that God chose to save us is not the way we would choose. And as we do, I hope to illustrate and demonstrate so that we can grasp that God doesn't choose as we would choose. So to start off, I'd like my volunteers to come up, please. Should be six or seven of them. If you can line up along there, please. Now, what we're going to do is we are going to imagine that we are making a basketball team. If I can have the first slide. So we are going to form a team of Emmanuel All-Stars. Okay. So the task is we have to have five players amongst... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, we need five players. We've got seven people. So two people are going to be disappointed. What sort of thing do we look for in a basketball player? Go on, Dushy. Tall. She's my wife, I can say it. Okay, so we got some tall people. Obviously, Gareth is the tallest. Then John. Then Joe. And then Rion and Bjorn. I'm afraid, ladies. Okay, so we need tall people. Oh, we've just got some more tall people coming in now. Okay, what else do we need in a basketball player? People that can dribble. If you don't clean your teeth, you do dribble a lot, yes. Yeah. People that can dribble. Yes, Olaf.
Be fast,
yes. How about being able to catch a ball? Yeah. So we're going to put this to the test. Can these people catch a ball? That's up with you, Phoebe, right? That's going to test me now, isn't it? Okay, so Phoebe can catch. Rion. Yes. John. Lovely. Gareth. Oh, good. Fast hands, Gareth. Thank you very much.
My mistake.
Did we also have Joe in the team? No. Okay, so we need to choose five people. Should we have Phoebe in the team? Rion?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Gareth?
Yes.
Bjorn?
No.
Ooh, it's a...
I'm offended.
Catherine?
No.
No? Joe?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much, all. There we are. Thank you. So the point of that was to show you that when we choose things, we look for particular criteria. A particular reason why we want to have that person. So as we're looking at basketball players, we want to have the best basketball team. We want to be able to win. So we need people who are ideally tall, fast, being able to dribble, catch, and good aim. And I'm sure we can all relate to situations like that. Maybe you've been in a playground playing a game, and you've been lined up, and people have chosen, or maybe not chosen you to be part of their team. Maybe you're in a sports club, and you haven't been chosen to play a certain match. Or maybe it's a job, and you haven't been chosen, even though you think you meet the criteria. When we make choices, we look at a reason why we need to make that choice. But the Bible tells us that when God chose to save us, he doesn't choose us in this way. He doesn't choose to save us based on who we are. He doesn't choose to save us based on where we come from. He doesn't choose to save us based on how good we are. The Bible is clear. The invitation to come to Jesus and be saved is for everyone. Romans 10:13 tells us, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And it's very important that we understand what that word "everyone" means. The obvious meaning is everyone who comes and calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus' death on the cross paid the price for everyone who calls upon his name. Salvation is not on a first-come, first-served basis. But isn't that what we're used to in this world? When you have a party as a child, your parent may tell you you can only have 10 friends. You are limited to who you can invite. Or maybe when you go to a store and there's a really good offer on, but it's only for the first 50 customers. Or maybe a sporting event is limited by the capacity of the stadium. God, though, he will not turn away anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. He has promised that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so tonight, if you call upon his name, Jesus will save you from your sins. But there's a not so obvious meaning to the word "everyone." Other translations have that word as "whoever," and it captures it a bit better. In a way, what this verse is saying is anyone and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The offer of salvation is a universal invitation. It's not reserved for a certain type of people. It's not reserved for people from the UK. It's not reserved for people from America or Asia or China. It's for people from all nations. It's not reserved for just men. It's not reserved for just women or boys or girls. The invitation is for all of us, men, women, and boys and girls. It's not, and babies, yes. It's not reserved for people of a particular age. People of all ages can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. No matter who you are, God promises, if you see your need for saving, if you realize you can't save yourself, and you recognize that only Jesus can save you, if you call upon his name, if you put your whole trust and confidence in him to save you, he will save you. And so that's the first thing I want us to see this evening. The Bible tells us that God chooses to save all sorts of people and all types of people. So let's move on to consider the second one. Obviously, tonight is a harvest celebration. And when I think of harvest, I think of farmers bringing in the crop or going and picking the apples or pears from the trees. I wonder, have you ever been and picked your own fruit from a farm? Maybe. But even if you haven't, when you go shopping with mum or dad, you get to pick what fruit you want. So if we can have the next slide, please. So there, I have three apples. Number one, number two, number three. And we're going to vote on which apple you would choose to eat. Hands up if you would eat apple number one. I knew some people would say yes. Okay. I don't think you really would you? Apple number two. No, apple number three. Surprise, surprise. Anyone tell me why? Anyone? Go on, Alaf. Apple number three is perfect. The number one's a bit squidgy and black and mushy. Apple two has got big mush on it. But three is ripe and juicy. It's the best, isn't it? And that's how we choose things, isn't it? We look at it and think, that looks the best. And I have that apple with me tonight. Yeah, there's the apple. And it hasn't worked. Oh, Never mind. It should have gone black inside. But it hasn't worked. Typical, isn't it? Okay, so that apple inside is black, isn't it? Yes? And that's supposed to illustrate that on the outside it looks nice, but on the inside it's black. And that illustrates what the Bible tells us about ourselves. We may appear to everyone around us to be good and kind, but the reality is, even if you are the best behaving child, even if you are the most gracious, caring adult, our hearts, our inside, is sinful and desperately wicked. And I don't mean by our hearts the squidgy thing that goes bum, bum, bum in your chest and pumps the blood around. Our very being, our very inner being, our nature, is desperately wicked and sinful. And so if we can have the next slide. God sees our heart. This verse tells us, for the Lord sees, not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. We can very easily do things and say things to those around us that cause them to think that person's really good. They're really kind. They're really caring. They're really loving. They don't hear our every thought, though, do they? They don't see what's going on in our mind and in our hearts. Every thought that flows from a broken and wicked heart. But God sees. God sees our heart. He sees every thought and every feeling that comes from our broken, sinful hearts. It's as if he was looking at that apple that should be black. And that's what he sees. Our hearts are black and stained with sin. Therefore, everything that comes from our hearts is wicked, deceitful, and sinful. And it's important that I emphasize that. Because since we look at the outward experience, because we choose things based on what we can see, we easily forget that we are not sinful because we do sinful things. We do sinful things because we are sinful. And so God did not choose to save us because we just do sinful things. He saved us because we are sinful people. And the Bible tells us that God cannot allow sinful people to come into his presence. Therefore, we as sinful people, each one of us, we cannot know him. We cannot approach him. So God, therefore, chooses to save people whose hearts are sinful. That's the second thing. God chooses to save people whose hearts are sinful. And so now my third point. And this time we've got pictures of a different fruit. Strawberries. So we're going to do the same thing again. We're going to have a vote. Who wants to choose a strawberry? So who wants the number one?
Me.
Yep, okay, a few. Number two?
Me.
Oh, majority. Number three? Okay, a few. And number four? I think the majority was strawberry number two. And it just so happens I have that strawberry with me. There it is. Nice, juicy strawberry. Who wants it? Oh, a few people. Yeah? Because it looks nice and juicy. Oh, gasp. Who wants the strawberry now? No. You wanted strawberry number two because it was big and juicy. It looked lovely sweet. But now, it's squished and broken. Even though if I got you to taste it, it would still taste like a strawberry. Even though you can see in that picture, it looked like a really good strawberry. You wouldn't really want to choose it because it's all squished and broken. And that's how we choose things, isn't it? We don't choose broken things. For example, if you were to go to a toy shop and you wanted a toy, would you choose one off the shelf if it was broken? I don't think you would. But the Bible tells us that God chose to save us, even though we are broken. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it tells us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the fact that we are broken is visible in each of our lives. In the things we say, in the things we do and the way we feel, it's all an indication of the fact we are broken. The Bible tells us we were made in God's image. We were made in his likeness. And so part of that means that we long for a relationship. We are able to relate to others. But because of sin polluting our hearts, we are now broken. And so we don't enjoy those relationships as we should. because we don't function as we are made. Instead of being loving, we are hateful. Instead of being selfless, we are selfish. Instead of being gentle, we can be angry. Instead of being patient, we are frustrated. And instead of being compassionate, maybe we're jealous. I wonder, do any of those statements describe you? I know they describe me. We are all broken. And because we are so broken, we cannot fix or save ourselves. And that's why Christ had to die for us, to save us from our brokenness, to save us from our sins. And that's the third thing I want us to see tonight. Christ chose to save us, even though we are broken. So having seen all those three things, it poses a question. Why would God choose to save us? Why would God choose to save all sorts and all types of people whose hearts are broken and sinful? Well, let's go back to Romans 5 verse 8. I didn't show you the whole verse. The whole verse is this. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God chose to save us because of his love for us. His love for us is so great, so wonderful. He chose us, even though we're not how he made us, even though we are sinful and broken. And so this evening, God is calling each one of us. He's inviting each one of you to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. We are a group of all sorts of people and all types of people, and we are all broken and sinful. But then that poses another question. Why would God want to save us? Why would God choose to save us? He obviously loves us because he wants to have a relationship with us. Each one of us tonight, God wants to know, and he wants us to know him. Jesus didn't die on the cross for our sins so that we can then go on living our lives without God. Jesus died to save us so we might know and enjoy a real relationship with God, now and forevermore. Being saved from our sins is not the goal of God's plan of salvation. The goal of his plan of salvation is that we would have a full and meaningful relationship with him. But to have that relationship, we have to be saved from our sin. God's love for you is so great, he sent his son to die for you. But it doesn't stop there. God's love for you is so great that he has caused you to come here tonight. He's brought you here tonight to hear this message so that you can hear the invitation that he wants to have a relationship with you. Perhaps he is working in your heart tonight as you sat there, stirring your heart to think, why does God love me? Will you call out to Jesus tonight to save you? Maybe tonight you have already called out to Jesus. You have been saved and you know him to be your saviour. Even if that's the case, God is still calling out to you tonight because he wants to know you more. He wants you to know him more and more and love him more. He's reminding you tonight that his love for you is so great that he longs and desires that he would constantly be the centre of your life. He wants you to treasure him more than anything else in this world. So the challenge for us as believers is, do you treasure God that much? We all therefore need to consider, how will you respond to God's invitation? How will you respond to God's love? I hope I've made it clear that we choose in a different way to God chooses. But what motivates our choice is the same. It's love. We've seen that what motivated God's choice to send his son to save us was his great love for us. And it's love that will motivate you to make a choice tonight. We are all capable of loving, because that's how God's made us. To be able to love, to want to be loved. But because of our brokenness, our love is not what it should be. Our sinfulness causes us to love things that we should not love. To love in a way that we should not want to love. So when it comes to making the decision, will I respond to God's invitation? Perhaps your love for yourself, perhaps your love for the things of this world is too much that you won't respond to God's invitation. Well, my prayer is tonight that you've heard about God's great love for you, God's Spirit would stir in your heart and cause you to cry out to him, to love him in return, because he first loved you. Throughout this evening, I've emphasized, I hope, that in God choosing to save us, he chooses in a different way to how we choose. He's chosen to save all types of people, even though our hearts are broken and sinful. Whereas when we choose for a specific reason. We have that criteria that needs to be met. We want to choose the best things. We choose the things that make our lives better or even complete. There is only one who will meet all your needs, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one who is better than anything else, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one who will bring meaning and purpose to your life and make your life complete, the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps tonight you are aware that your choices that you've made in life, then perhaps that you're still making now, have caused you to be crushed like that strawberry. Perhaps tonight you are feeling crushed. Come to Jesus. He will save you from your crushedness. He will save you from your brokenness. In him and in him alone will you find meaning, purpose and completeness. So I hope and pray tonight that you would see that in Jesus and in Jesus alone, he is all you need. He is all you are looking for. And that you would cry out to him, call upon his name to be saved. Amen. Should we stand to sing our